All right, you can be opening up to Genesis, which is at the front of your Bible. We'll start there, and if you want to get a head start on things, you can also put one finger in Exodus chapter 20. I hope you noticed something new this morning. Last Sunday, as we were looking at what God has done in New Crossing Church in the last year, I shared with you where He's taking us in this coming season as a church. And we've been in this series of called Working and Keeping the Garden, which was inspired out of Genesis when God made Adam and Eve, and He put them in a garden to work it and keep it. And I won't go over, you can go online and get the other sermons or get CDs in the back, but this last Sunday, we were looking at that the garden that God is creating for us, and there is something very beautiful. I was talking about working with the Lord in His garden to create beauty and produce fruit. And so a garden does two things. It's meant to make something beautiful, and that's what happens within God's church, the spiritual community. But God also grows a garden to produce fruit, and fruit on the vine, as we said last week, left on the vine does what? Rots. And so the fruit of God's church is meant to be shared with the secular community. So this is how the spiritual community becomes a blessing to the secular. And we had this crazy idea. Why don't we, as a symbolic or prophetic act, actually as a church, grow a garden? Wouldn't that be so cool? And now it's just a vision. It's just a dream God's given to our church. And it's just last Sunday was the beginning of asking, how will you do that? Where's the land going to come from? Where will we take this produce? How will that happen? But be praying into that. But Rhonda Rushing took that vision statement of working in His garden to create beauty and produce fruit, and it's made a beautiful banner with grapevines, and it's just, I think that's a great reminder for this next season in New Crossing Church to remember where we're headed as a spiritual community. So I love that. And so we're growing fruit for the beauty of the Lord, but we're going to be sharing the fruit for the Lord to the world, and we'll be asking more about how to do that. So even this morning is going to be a continuation in this garden theme. And if you're visiting and you're wondering why there's all these gardening implements, each one of these were connected to even this pest cage catching, you know, the pests that destroy the garden, and the pruning shears and the fork and the root stimulant, and all these things have been lessons that God shared with me this summer on a sabbatical. Took a 3-month sabbatical, and was on my heart to grow a garden, not knowing all the things He would bring out of that. And so it's been fun doing that. So if you're now hopefully in Genesis chapter 2, God has, in chapter 1, been growing something. It's called creation. It's the universe. He was growing not just a vegetable garden, but He was growing planets and solar systems. And he created light out of the darkness. I won't take you through the whole story, but all that exists is because of God's goodness. And He has a creative heart that makes things beautiful. And at the end of every day, He would say, what? It is good. It's awesome. Just beautiful. Then at the end of it, at the end of His work, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. So at the beginning of all stories, there is a day called a Sabbath. Now, what's that have to do with the garden? Well, you've been listening well, because when I asked last week, of all the different things we've learned about a garden, what was missing? And you said water. And so in a garden, to keep the garden fresh. You have to water it. And so this morning, I have a hose, you know, and a nozzle on the end of the hose. And so a couple people jumped. But one of the things I love doing, actually, is not just for whatever reason. You know, I grew up kind of an extreme sports guy. You know, as a lot of you know, did a lot of crazy things and almost got killed a couple times. But now, maybe it's getting old. Now I like in the summer and the spring to go in the garden in the evening and water it. Just water the flowers. And Jill's got a vegetable garden. And it's like, wow, really? You know, the surfer, rock climber, backpacker likes a hose in his hand just watering a garden. But yeah, actually, I've come to appreciate some things that maybe I didn't appreciate back then. Water. It's what keeps the plants alive. It's not good enough to get it all started. There's that initial burst of energy that's soon coming to all the plants when they pop out of the ground and the buds come. But you have to keep the garden. You have to water the garden. And if I was to draw an analogy between water, I mean oxygen, you know, H2O, right? And oxygen would be the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit needs to come and refresh us in some way. And there's two hydrogens that oxygen has to connect with to make water. And the two things that are necessary if you want, as a Christian, to have a life refreshed by the Holy Spirit is a Sabbath and the daily office, which will be next week. And we see the beginning of something called the Sabbath in Genesis here. And the definition of Sabbath means to cease from activity, to rest from work. It does not mean do nothing. But there is a way in which we rest in the Lord. And so after we see God created, and in a class, a preschool class once, the kids were being taught about the creation story, and the preschool teacher asked them, "What did God do on the seventh day?" And one of the 3-year-olds raised their hand, and when she called him on him, he said, "I think he mowed the lawn." I like that. Now the question is, was God breaking the Sabbath by mowing the lawn? Well, hopefully we'll kind of understand more about what the Sabbath means. Because if it doesn't mean do nothing, and there was a sense in which Jesus and his Father continued working in creation had been finished, but him and his Father continued to do spiritual work. And contrary to what you might think, Jesus did not remove the Sabbath from the Christian's life. But he did have to bring it back to its original intent. So why don't we turn now? And actually, just one thing, I kind of want to do it. I don't know if we have this verse, but do we have John 15 available? And it just kind of connects to this banner of working in his garden to create beauty and produce fruit. And I just as we were worshiping, I just think how appropriate these verses are. And, awesome. Well, let's read starting with verse 5. And this is Jesus speaking on the night before he's crucified, and he says this to his disciples. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone," verse 6, "if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers." And so, in other words, there's a picture in here that it's possible as a Christian to wither, to not get what you need to be alive. And we find that in Jesus Christ, who you can make so many connections here. Jesus, who one of his, you know, he declares that he is the living water, right? And so by his Spirit, he refreshes us. And abiding means we're anchored. And in that, and he started off in John 15 describing his Father as the gardener. So now turn, because, and I wanted to just for you to see that, is because even in the New Testament, the Sabbath continues. And I don't know what you've been taught. I know that even when I was in seminary, training to be a pastor after leaving electronics, you know, I kind of had this misconception of what the Sabbath was. And even there, you kind of got a sense of, well, there's the Ten Commandments, right? So if you're turning to Exodus 20, I'll just give you a moment to find your way there. And so it's kind of like God gave the Ten Commandments, but one of them really doesn't apply to us anymore, and that's called the Sabbath. You know, so if I was to ask you, you know, is it okay to murder, steal, kill? You'd say, okay, I wasn't sure how you'd answer that one. And if I'd say, do you have to keep the Old Testament Sabbath anymore? Do you have to keep a Sabbath? There you might go, I don't know. I'm not sure. Exodus 20. And it's interesting because there is more said about this commandment than any of the others. This is the longest of a commandment, and as you will see, there's a blessing connected with it. Verse 8, Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your male female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, the alien visiting. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. There's a blessing with this commandment. And that's one of the troubles, is somewhere along the line, the church, but even our society has come to view the Sabbath, even taking out the spiritual religious parts of it, as an option. And we forget it's a commandment. It's a commandment. But not a harsh one. It's a commandment with a blessing. Now I'll be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 5, because what I will be headed towards is there really are three aspects to that blessing, or I should say more accurately, there are three things necessary to experience that blessing, to live out the Sabbath. And I want you to understand this. I started my own a few years ago studying of the Sabbath, because I kind of thought maybe I was keeping it, but I wasn't sure. And as we were going through sermon series in John chapter 5, where Jesus actually, it looks like he's breaking the Sabbath, and you realize, no, he was undoing the legalism of the Sabbath. There's a way in which, as Christians, we can turn the Sabbath into something legalistic, and it ceases to do the very thing it was created to do. So Jesus kept the Sabbath, but he redefined it because of those, the religious leaders, guys like me, who were inappropriately turning it into actually something that is withering and drying up the soul. So how many of you want a refreshed soul? Raise your hand. Yeah? Okay. How many of you want to stop being a slave? Raise your hand. Well, here's a clue. And you're going, wait a second. I'm in America, land of the free, Pastor. I'm not a slave. Well, maybe, maybe not. Let's see if we can find out which of us are still slaves. Turn to Deuteronomy, which is after Exodus. So we've done Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And we're going to look at chapter 5. You there? Okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It kind of repeats. And by the way, what is Deuteronomy? It's like, how many of you have read Exodus and Deuteronomy and thought, hey, they're kind of telling the same story? I saw one hand. Are you kidding me? All right, I'm seeing even kids. All right, now I'm okay. But no, be reading the Old Testament and you'll think, wow, it's a lot of the same stuff. Think of Deuteronomy. What happened is at the end of their journey, Israel, from freedom from Egypt, from slavery, got freed from slavery. They are about to enter the promised land, and Moses, who wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, is giving them a commentary on Exodus. So Deuteronomy takes a lot of what's in Exodus and helps explain some of the things behind it. So when you read them, read both and see if there's something said more than what was said before. All right? And so if we were to do that in Deuteronomy, that was a little lesson on reading the Bible, but if we do this in Deuteronomy, you will see the Ten Commandments again. And there again is this really long commandment on the Sabbath. But pay attention to verse 15, which you don't find in Exodus. And I just saw this week, and it's like it. So I'm getting my confession is your pastor still himself figuring out the Sabbath, you know? And I've read all the stuff out there, but in terms of figuring out what it means to our lives. But here's one thing. Verse 15, you shall remember. In other words, now he's saying, I want you, when you think of the Sabbath, to remember something. There's something connected to the Sabbath. And that is, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So, you are either keeping the Sabbath or you're a slave. Can't have both. Why? Well, think of Israel when they were under the hard rule of Pharaoh. They were slaves. And they were oppressed. And they were never given a Sabbath day of rest. And so they worked hard. They were harassed. They were always busy. There's always more work to be done, bricks to be made, pyramids to be built. I don't know if that's what they were doing, but there was always more to be done. Now, how many of you feel like in your life, if I was to have you turn around and say and share, you know, what still needs to be done? What's on your to-do list? What are you needing to accomplish at work? Everybody raise your hand that has it all done, that there's nothing left to do. You can't. And you never will, is the secret. There will always be more to do. So if you're thinking, I'll take a Sabbath faster when my work is done, that's called death. And you missed out on all these beautiful Sabbath and blessings. God ordained a day to be different than all the other days. A Sabbath creates a new rhythm, a rhythm that's different than the rest of the days. A day in which everything comes to rest. A day in which a Sabbath, like the daily office, is something created where the Holy Spirit can flow more greatly in our lives. One of the things I had to learn about owning a house is in wintertime, flush the hose before I try and water the, you know, in spring, the plants. Because what happens is, I don't know, stuff gets in it. Usually little creatures. And then they clog up the little holes on the end of the sprinkler. And so you hook up the hose and you flush it out first. So, you know, I have to ask myself what my life is clogging this hose from the Spirit being able to refresh my life. Ask yourself, what in the busyness is making it impossible for you to have a day off? Now, I probably should just give you Colossians 2 quickly. And you don't have to turn there. But in Colossians 2, Paul says this. And he mentions the Sabbath. And he's talking about don't judge others. In Colossians 2, verse 16, he says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. In other words, Jesus took it out of the realm of religious, how do I call it, legalism, where the Sabbath is a spiritual principle for us to be lived. And I will say this at this point is, it is meant to be a day, and we'll learn about what it looks like more, but it is meant to be a day off. And there's a purpose for the Sabbath. But in our culture now, we have many people, and even people we need to be available, like doctors and firemen on Sundays and things like this. So this isn't a statement that Sunday is the day that everything should shut down in our modern culture. But what happened is, because we look at the Sabbath and we look at it as an option, not a commandment, we therefore fill up sometimes every day of the week with things that we're trying to achieve, things we're trying to accomplish. So we lose the Sabbath. And when it happens, we become what? If we're not Sabbath keepers, we are slaves. Good. So if you're somebody that has to work on Sabbath on a Sunday, and then you need to find another day for your Sabbath. And so, but there are some things that are critical if you're going to be a Sabbath keeper. So now let's look at the first one. One of the things necessary to experience the blessings God's talking about is that the Sabbath refreshes your soul through rest. That was the easy one. Your soul needs to rest. And when I say your soul, I am talking about all of who you are, physically, emotionally, spiritually. You need to rest. Now turn over to Leviticus. So this is, and remember, Leviticus is also one of the books in the first five books of the Pentateuch, and we're going to be looking at Leviticus 23, and we'll come back to this, because within this passage is where, when I studied this, I saw here are the three things necessary to experience the fullness of the Sabbath, the blessings that God wants to give. And the first one is a rest, and you see this in Leviticus. So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, so third book in your Bible, and it says this in verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. All right? It's holy. There's this rest that we need from our activities. Activities that would separate us from being men and women that can carry the stillness in our hearts like God did. Even Psalm 46, talks about be still and know, God says, be still and know that I'm God. And he says that right after you read that, like the whole world's falling apart. And he's saying there's a stillness, there's a Sabbath rest we can carry with us all the time. Wouldn't that be good in the midst of chaos, problems at work, pressures at school, right? To carry this holy rest inside you. Even when we go about accomplishing things, when we go back to the work week, we will, with the blessing of God, have more power to take that rest. So rest does not do nothing, but it's what you do, the purpose of what you do, that determines if that day is a Sabbath for you or not. So one of the things is slowing down your life. We live at a crazy pace in our culture. We live at such a rush. And there may be things that you need to ruthlessly cut out of your life if you're going to be able to slow down. And Jill and I are no exceptions. Sometimes we know we're in trouble when we want to get together with one of you and we got to book something, a month in the future. It's like, whoa, we have a lot going on. We need to slow things down again. You ever feel like that? Like you're just even too busy to do anything outside of all the chores and your job? We need to simplify life. Sabbath is a time to spend with the Lord, enjoying Him. It has a purpose. So you're actually accomplishing something. For those of you who feel like, I got to accomplish things, it's like, a Sabbath rest of your soul is actually accomplishing something. And now businesses and corporations in America, some of them are starting to get on board with this. Right, Bill? Just like, he's telling me about, major corporations who are run by Christians are closing on Sundays. They're sending their employees home. J.I. Packer said, choose the leisure activities that bring us closest to God, to people, to beauty, and to all that ennobles. I love that. Are you setting aside time each week? Are you finding a rest that brings you deeper into God's presence? If you have your outline, flip it over. On the back of the sermon outline is something to take home for you to think about. And it's coming from this book that this current series, I'm drawing some things from, a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro. And he's basically saying to be healthy spiritually, you have to be healthy emotionally. And that's obviously where something like a Sabbath would come into play. And in this, as he talks about discovering the rhythm of the Sabbath, he lists a few things, and I've amended them a little bit, but the first three he has in his book, and it's first is to stop. Stop is built into the literal meaning of the Hebrew word Sabbath. It means stop. It recognizes we have limits, that God is on the throne running the world. And that's the first thing to understand. He is God and you are not. And He can accomplish the things you can't. And you rest. So you stop, and then in that stopping, once we stop, we are called to rest from our work and enjoy the restoration of our emotions and our body. They're finding even secular studies that employees are more productive, more fruit-producing if they give them a rest. And then what's important in that time is that you delight yourself in the Lord. We are to slow down so we can enjoy what we've been given by Him. It's one of those times that saying becomes actually very pertinent. Stop and smell the roses. Maybe you literally need to go out. Everyone go to Century here and go smell a rose in the, you know, and tell them I sent you. But stop and smell the roses and look at the beauty of God's creation, right? Feed the birds. All right, so the Sabbath refreshes your soul through rest. But the danger is, and that's really where a lot of pastors and writers stop, is talking about the rest of the soul that's needed every week. And the danger of that is that it would easy for us to turn the Sabbath only about us. Where, you know, it's we take that when Jesus was we'll turn there soon. I want you to see how Jesus also deals with the Sabbath rest. But he says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is for man, not man for the Sabbath. Right? And so we think, well, what that means is it's now optional, and if I think I need it, I'll take it. And we forget the commandment part of it. But the Sabbath is more than just rest. Secondly, the Sabbath refreshes your identity through a worshiping community. So if you had your fingers or you're still in Leviticus 23, you can see this in verse 3. It says, 6 days shall work shall be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. What's that? Holy convocation. That's talking about sacred worship within a community. So a Sabbath is not just a time for you to rest your soul, but it is also a time that one day a week, which traditionally is Sunday, for us to come together and worship God. So if you only do the first part, you will not have a fully refreshed soul. Do you understand? And so church on Sunday is becoming optional, just like the Sabbath. Because we can go online and hear better sermons than I'm giving you this morning and hear better worship than Daniel and his team can give you on Sunday. And so why meet with people at all? Because God knows we need to be a real community, a face-to-face people. God didn't say, text me your prayers. He said, meet with me face-to-face and pray. Oh, some of you have been texting prayers. I can tell. The United States actually created labor laws the government to protect workers from physical and moral debasement from interrupted labor. These laws went further than that, that they even created a protection of Sunday as a country. This was not that long ago. It was just a century ago that people did not work, even those that didn't believe in God, on Sundays. And so it was a shared rest, so that, and actually the law was intended so that the family life and other relationships could be nurtured in a way that would be impossible if the days were staggered, right? It's easier, it would be easier if we went to one day, but it's hard to turn back time. And so now, the very thing the government realized that interferes with community and family and getting recharged is spending it together. And now we have all these, we all have different days that are staggered that we have off. So what do you do with that? It gets complicated, I confess, right? It's tough. But if you have to work on Sundays, it's not an option for you, according to God, to miss out on the worshiping community. You need for you to be, live a fully blessed, refreshed life spiritually to be part of a worshiping community called the church. And in this church, I would say, if you have to work on Sundays, find another church. Seriously. I want your life fully charged up with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I'm speaking to people that are here, so that's probably not the case. But let's say you do get a job or something. Find a church that has a Sunday evening or a Saturday evening service, because this is not optional. You need to come together and worship with other men and women, people that will get to know you and love you. We need to be part of a worshiping community. And you say, well, man, it's easy for you, Craig, to say that. No, I don't. In this area, I doubt there's anything you've had to face in terms of pressure to work all the time that I haven't faced. You know, and a lot of you know I've worked in electronics in Silicon Valley. And man, I spent my first college degree was in electronics. And I got my engineering job, and I was brandly, newly married. And in that new job, the vice president wanted his engineers to work all the time, all week long. And as a young Christian, so do you understand? This was the beginning of my career. It's what I had trained for. And I find myself in his office, and he's wanting me to be there on Sundays. So I understand you might be in a job where your employer is pressuring you to work all the time, and you can do what I did. I said, okay, whatever you need. I don't want to lose my job. No. I said, I can't do that. And God just gave me the courage to say, I value my church. I value my family. And I'm not going to work unless there's a crisis. You know, that one time when something is blowing up, you know. But I value my time with church and family. And he didn't like that. And I came home to my new bride and said, I think Monday I might be getting a pink slip. But I didn't. And I can't promise that's the case with you, but the point is God will honor and protect those who honor him with their lives. The blessing, you can try and create blessings for yourself, but I'll take his blessings any day. Christians are called to be radicals. You know, remember when you were young, you know, when we're young, you know, in those days, some of you might have to go a little further back than others. Maybe some of you are saying, I'm there right now. I'm young right now. But the point is, remember when we're young, before we get all softened and conformed to society, when you're ready to challenge every philosophy and idea that's out there, right? Well, it's time for the church to be nonconformist. It's time for us to be countercultural again. It's time for the Christians to be radical activists in this particular area. We've lost this ground because we've given it away. Remember when you were idealistic and you'd hold out signs, you know, because, you know, and a radical is something that actually has to do with the root level of something. It's where it's in when it, you apply it to people. Radicals are people who are advocates for change at something at a root level. Remember the vine. And so we're connected to the roots of Jesus Christ, and he wants us to take sabbaticals. And I was kind of thinking, you know, we almost need, you need to go to work with a picket sign saying, you know, like, you know, that's what activists do, you know, and you walk in front of your company and you say, sabbatical's not slavery. Sabbatical's not slavery, right? And that, well, don't do that literally. But we have to be willing to, and coaches, you know, we got, you know, our kids' sports and band programs, we have everything commandeering away, making it impossible for us to be a worshiping community. And people, wouldn't it be fun, especially older ones, to kind of be a radical again? Didn't you like it in those days? Down with the man, you know. And, hey, because we worship another man, the one that created all humans, right? And so we need to be able to do things like that. All right, you with me? I got one guy with me on this. Sacred assembly. You see, it's what a Sabbath does is it, as a worshiping community, it reminds us, and in what I'm talking about, is that the church is sacred. And the church isn't the trappings in the building. The church is you. You are sacred, meant to be set apart from the world. God declares you holy because of what his Son has done in your life. And you need to be set apart. The church community needs to be different. You did not come here because you want to be like the world. Something drew you to this place because you want to be different. We need to seek a life within a spiritual community that's not lived for ourselves. You see, that's the other part of a worshiping community, is it, the Sabbath is to remind us that we're not on our own, that there's something bigger than us, that life is not lived selfishly in the pursuit of happiness. The Sabbath refreshes our identity. Oh, yeah. And this is so needed in the American culture. We've gone down such a road of me when it needs to become us. I realized that a lot of my reading of the Bible, when the word you was there, I was thinking he's talking to me. Well, on some level, that's true, but so much of the time, the word you is speaking to the plural community. When you pray, pray, my Father in heaven, our. Right? Church itself means called out. I love what Albert Schweitzer said on Sabbath rest. He said, if your soul has no Sunday, it becomes an orphan. I was reading Eugene Peterson, and he was, I guess he likes Garrison Keillor like me, and Garrison Keillor said, Sunday feels odd without church in the morning. It's the time in the week when we take our bearing, and if we miss it, we're just following our noses. It aligns us up. It aligns our identity again. We won't look at it this morning, but in Matthew, it's interesting. I mean, if I was to ask everybody, what's the famous thing Jesus says in Matthew 11? You'd probably talk about Matthew 11, verse 28. And he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Sounds like he's trying to set us free, huh? From a yoke of slavery. Remember in the... excuse me. What's interesting is we all love that passage. Thank you. Bless you. But what follows that famous passage of the yoke that Jesus is trying to set us free from? It's two stories about the Sabbath. Remember in your Bibles, precious ones, is that these chapter divisions are man-made. And so it's always when you read them, say what comes before and what comes after. And what comes after is two stories of Jesus redefining the Sabbath to be to reconnect people and community because it had turned into a legalistic duty. And the religious leaders were, you know, Jesus' disciples, they would rather have people go hungry than have food, or people be crippled because we don't heal on the Sabbath. And it's a passage worth meditating on, but what we see in this is Jesus is saying the Sabbath, when he says it's for man, is it's a place in which encourages and refreshes God's people. And so Jesus' work had to do with godly work of restoring things to their properness. It was not accomplishing things in terms of your job, but there's a work we can do on Sundays or whatever your Sabbath is that connects you with others and becomes a blessing to them. Go help somebody. Take a Sabbath. It's not impossible. Well, let me move on. Because even here, if we stop here with the Sabbath refreshing our identity in a spiritual community, we can be in danger of the Sabbath still only being about us. Okay, it's about my soul getting refreshed. It's about my finding my identity in a worshiping community. But there's one more aspect to it. So now turn back to Leviticus. Remember, third book in the Old Testament. And in Leviticus, again, chapter 23. The two verses before chapter 3 say this, and it gives us the clue to the third thing necessary. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations, and they are my appointed feast." Two times he talks about appointed feast. Parties. Meaning things that bring joy into our lives. And so the third thing necessary is the Sabbath refreshes your joy through contemplation of the Lord. Your Sabbath, part of it needs to be contemplating who God is in your life. The Sabbath is not primarily, though it has to do something with us, but it is also helping us reflect on who God is and who He is in you. You are going under transformation. And as you reflect beyond just the flowers and the birds, as we've talked about, but you take time to be with Him, to sing some worship songs, to read maybe a devotional book, something that aligns you up. What I've discovered in my own life after Sundays, I love to go home and pray after church and just say thank you for being there with us. And then before dinner, you know, sit and read something that makes me think more about who God is. Meditate on who He is. It's more than just what happens when we come together and worship God. Or if you have to work after church, and then you need that day off. You need a day off from the chores. Maybe it means you have to kind of take care of some chores in the evenings, one here, one there, do some laundry, you know, at lunchtime or something. You know, just find ways to try and get to the place where you have that day that you're not trying to achieve your work at your job or chores in the house, but a day for you to get refreshed. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And on the back of your outline, as they do, here's where we continue with the five things that will help you find that refreshment. We've talked about stopping, resting, delighting, worshiping, contemplate. And that was our last one. Is that we need joy in our lives. Christians are called to live with joy in all circumstances. And that comes from our contemplating who God is. We are to ponder the love of God and find our true joy in Him. Every Sabbath we taste the glorious internal party that also will be waiting for us face to face in heaven. So let me close with this last passage, and it speaks more to the blessing in Isaiah 58. And I want to speak this over you. God says is saying this to us. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Contemplate Him. Trust Him. I understand if you start cutting things out of your life, you're thinking, how will anything get done? Or maybe like me, face like, well, if I tell my boss I need a day off, and they might threaten you with losing your job, lose it before you lose your Sabbath. Because really, you live as a slave, or you live as a Sabbath keeper, refreshed, blessed by the God that made you. And He knows you. He never leaves you. Jesus said, don't worry. I'm with you always. If He feeds the birds, He'll feed us. You have a church community. Better we live a Sabbath than we live in duress. Let's pray. Father in heaven, these are hard things this morning because everything in our society now has made us worriers and harassed and hectic, stressed from all the things that aren't getting done. Lord, I could even say we've been duped by all these things that are promised to save us time. Because we've just come to learn that our identity is in what we accomplish. But that's not true, God. Our identity is in You. So we don't need to feel good about how much we've accomplished. That's our work. We need to take joy that we are sons and daughters of a living God. Lord, let it begin with the church. We can't wait for society to go back 100 years. We need to be a people that courageously take a stand, for we know the thing that we need, but our society needs. Let us be a people to trust You and protect us, Father, as we follow You. Bless us as we honor You. Lord, I know that there are many souls here that feel a little withered on the vine, wondering why. Why is even being a Christian seem tough? Why do I not feel more refreshed? Is a life with God really so exhausting? Jesus, You are Lord of the Sabbath. Come into our lives. Help us understand the things that set us free. Perpetually accomplishing. Help us understand how to live a rested life in You, empowered by You. Jesus, even You never one day did work without Your Father. Even there, on the Sabbath days, if there's someone that needed You, You'd connect with them. You'd share truth and love them. And You knew that we'd be facing the same challenges that You faced, but You chose to keep a Sabbath. a rest. And we ask that you help us do the same. Refresh these souls by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this time this morning worshiping you. And help us realign our lives in a way. Let us cut things out. Let us rethink what we do so that we can experience this blessing too. In Jesus' name, amen.